Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Check out faithonthefieldshow.com for all our previous episodes and merchandise and see a list of all of our awesome sponsors. Please take a minute to download, subscribe, and review our show and tell us if you love it or however you feel about it. This episode is brought to you by Rick Santella, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. Call Rick at 215-845-6018. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton. Happy and blessed New Year to everyone. Happy 2019. It is great to be together for the first time in 2019. Guys, yes. I hope you had an awesome Christmas and awesome New Year's and got your resolutions, if we even do. I don't do resolutions.
Just make it week to week. That's it.
Just live week to week.
That's right.
Just be better, do better, live better,
day to
act
day,
better.
Week to week.
Just trying to do it minute by minute, bro.
There you go. Just break it down. Let's be real.
Get through our lives one day at a time. Just trying to serve. So
2018 was great though for Faith in the Field, and we're looking for really exciting things in 2019. So we appreciate everybody's support.
Absolutely.
So it's Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
2018 was a big one, man. It was a big one. It was a big one for us. For me professionally, it was a big year.
A lot of awesome things, man.
Fantastic. It was pretty cool. But hey,
go help. Self promote, Rob. Self promote just a little bit.
What did you do? A little bit.
You had some social media posts about that.
It's funny. Guy calls me the other day talking about, hey, did you read Nick Foles' book? And these guys are born again Christians. And I was like,
really?
No way.
Really?
I was like, really? Yeah, I kind of know a little bit something about that. Yeah. that's where I should have thrown out Faith on the Field Show, but I didn't use that opportunity.
You need to learn to plug a little bit better.
I do have to plug a little bit better. But yeah,
how about commencement speaker?
Yeah.
I know.
Come on, you've written books before, man.
You've written books before.
Yeah, it's all good. I don't want to blush. I don't want to get our listeners all bored and tired of hearing that stuff. But what I want to do is apologize to our listeners first and foremost across the country and everybody listening to the show over all around the world, because I know you do. We check those downloads, and it's so great to see. What was it? Philippines the other day?
Philippines. People subscribing to our email list.
That's awesome. The Philippines.
And a couple Minnesota fans out there, too, which
I'd like
to see.
Across the country. But this is going to be a Philly-centric show, because the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles overcame tremendous odds yet again. They're back in the playoffs. They got in, and they have now advanced to the divisional round to play number one seed New Orleans Saints on Sunday. I don't even need to justify talking about the Eagles, because they really are the biggest story in the NFL thanks to Nick Foles. Our guest is going to be Eagles defensive back Trey Sullivan, and we're also going to hear from record-setting tight end Zach Ertz. My wife Remy's going to join us for the Faith in the Field segment. Kyle, I know you have a close relationship with Zach. What did it mean for you to see Zach break Jason Witten's all-time record for catches by a tight end in a single season?
Yeah, it was so cool. It was so cool to watch it, to know what kind of effort he puts in all the time on and off the field,
right.
What goes into his preparation, just in season, out of season, the quality of man that he is. And for me, you know, obviously, I love Zach, and, you know, I couldn't be more proud of him. But Jason Witten went to Tennessee, where I played ball. So, you know,
how about these are
two huge moments. And there couldn't be a better man, to break the record, from Jason, I think, than Zach. And I love the way that they honor each other.
Yeah.
If you got a chance to watch any of that nationally, really watching Jason talk about him even later on in his career, watching how Zach approaches the game, and Zach talking so much about how he's approaching, how he learned how to approach the game. And I think, Rob, that isn't that the way that Christianity should be, isn't that the way life should be? Iron sharpens iron, we talk about all the time. One person sets the example for the other, that spurs another on to greatness. And what a great picture
and
we have.
And how cool is it when you have a guy like Jason Witten, and a brother in Christ who has had all this success in the NFL, yet he says, hey, later on in my career, rather than looking at a young kid developing, coming out of college and growing in the NFL, and maybe you look at guys like that sometimes and say, hey, what do they know? I've accomplished so much.
Yes.
I'm at the top of my position. No, he watched film of Zach. He wanted to learn from Zach and vice versa. So it was really cool to see that. And like you said, could not happen to a better person.
Truth.
First and foremost, before we even talk about Zach Ertz being a record-setting tight end, a brother in Christ, him and his wife Julie do tremendous things through the Zach Ertz through their foundation.
Zach Ertz Family, the Ertz Family Foundation. It was great. It was actually great to watch Julie respond and when Zach broke it. Those are the cool moments when you know that they're genuinely excited. You know, I've gotten that chance to watch be with Zach when he's watched Julie play.
Right.
Right. And to watch their genuine excitement for each other when they do these things. And that's just, again, what married couples who are growing with God, that's a great example.
Well, it's usually our wives who are happier for us than for our own accomplishments.
We do have to realize people may not understand, listeners, that Julie Ertz is a phenomenal athlete for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. So, you know,
Women's Player of the Year last year.
Absolutely.
World Cup medalist. She's everything. Yeah.
What a platform for both of her
game. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
At the top of her game, he's at the top of his game, and both just really great ambassadors for the Lord. While the Eagles are still alive and they're still playing because they beat the Bears in Chicago, Soldier Field, 16-15, Nick Foles led his second straight game-winning drive in the fourth quarter. He did it against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. This time, he does it against the stingiest defense in the NFL. Fourth and two, he tosses a two-yard touchdown to Golden Tate with 56 seconds remaining. I don't know if you guys saw the mic'd up version of that. I just saw it last night and didn't get a chance to ask Golden about it. So I'm hoping to get to. He ran a route. He didn't know the route. Like he didn't understand. He didn't know what he was doing. He goes on a sideline. Like I think it was Carson walked over to him and said, "Hey man, what kind of route was that?" Yeah. He's like, "I didn't see the alert." Yet Nick rolled out and Golden just went with it. How remarkable is that?
They make eye contact.
Yeah.
Because Golden takes it up the field instead of going right to the flat on, you know, kind of on that stick route. And he comes up the field and Nick makes eye contact with him. Then you see Golden go, "Oh, I need to break it out." Which actually was better because the defensive end had gotten pressure up the field.
Untouched.
Yep. Right. So that's actually a one and a half step drop, quick throw right into the flat, easy.
Sidearm throw.
Right? But he couldn't do it because the end was there.
Right.
So Golden actually taking it up the field, God works all things out
Man.
For good, right? I mean, even our mistakes.
You know what I love, which we underutilize here, is Kyle being a former college quarterback. He knows the routes. He knows what they should be. He knows what the pass is going to look like. So when you're watching that at home, like you're not watching that develop from like the ordinary pastor eye. You're watching it from like a quarterback's perspective, is pretty cool.
Growing up in a coach's house, you know, you pretty much watch everything through a different lens. But it is one of those amazing things when in that play, you know, how they that's the chemistry that's on this team right now.
Yeah.
And that just takes time to develop. And I, you know, for any of our listeners that are out there, you know, when Golden first got here, I was so excited about, and so was the city about his talent's amazing. And the thought automatically is, I remember the first game he got here, and I think he got here like early in the week, but not really long enough to actually practice much.
Right.
And people were like, "Oh, I think he's going to have 7 or 8 catches." And I'm thinking, it takes time to learn an offense. It takes time to develop.
And integrate someone in a system halfway through the season.
It takes time to build a relationship. If you're out there and you started a relationship, it takes time to build a relationship. It takes time to build chemistry. It takes time to know one another. And so there's just patience in all that I think, even as a fan, we need to have.
That goes back to a tribute to Zach and Carson Wentz and Nick, as he set that record. It's just as much the quarterback, the offensive line, everybody that's working together, the coaches, in order to share that record.
Yeah, and I think that's what, if you're in Philadelphia, that's what you're seeing right now. You're seeing again, just like you do with the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots, I think they always start out 1-2, 1-3, right?
This year they somehow overcame losing back-to-back games in December, which they hadn't done.
Which they never do. It's learning how to be.
And the same thing comes with the defense. I mean, you have a bunch of secondary people, third string people that are coming in playing.
Writing about that today.
There you go.
No-name secondary.
Yeah. It really is. And you know, for them to be playing so much better, the secondary, and Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but the secondary that's playing now may not even have played against the Saints in the first game.
Was Cravon LeBlanc's first game with the Eagles getting defensive snaps the week before he was out there on special teams. Rasul Douglas was out, so it was Douglas, it was Avante Maddox, Cravon at corner, and Avante goes down early in that game. Sidney Jones got hurt early in that game. So there was a lot happening in that one. But
there's a lot of transition in that game, wasn't it? Yeah.
We're 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks later. There's been a lot of building of chemistry, getting to know each other. It's so important when you're back there and that's it. You got to know where you got to trust in you got to trust in your other guy. You got to know where he's going to be. And a lot of that's developed. But of course, after that touchdown, Nick Foles to Golden Tate, that wasn't it. It could have been like that wasn't going to be the end of the Eagles game. No, we know how these Eagles are, and it's never easy.
Yep.
And of course, Tarik Cohen returns that kickoff, and they end up getting set up in position for Cody Parkey to attempt a 43-yard field goal at the end. It hits off the upright. It hits the crossbar. We find out later, and now it's been officially ruled a blocked field goal because Trayvon Hester tipped the ball. And of course, Cody Parkey gets booed as he runs off the field. He's been vilified by Bears fans and all these cruel, heartless people out there with the memes and the GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to call them, putting them out there, making fun of Cody Parkey. So our theme today is going to be change the story, because we're going to change that story. We're also going to address another story that has dominated the airwaves, not just in Philly, but nationally. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to change that one too. So let's start with Parkey. First thing he does after he missed the field goal is he stops to point to heaven. He's praising God in that toughest moment of his professional life. Then, as he's going to run off the field, before getting that cascade of boos, he stops in a prayer circle, and he's right there next to Steph Wisniewski, and they're in that prayer circle, and they're praying.
Who had gotten benched, by the way. Steph got benched for that game
with
Smilo coming back.
Yes.
So those two, you know, in the middle of all that, you're exactly right, Rob. Still bending down to pray.
Which is difficult to do, which is tough to do. And then Cody answers every question at his locker, after the game, with complete, total class, accepts responsibility, not knowing at that time that, hey, you could kind of absolve him from missing that because it was tipped.
Absolutely.
Technically,
right.
It's a missed field goal.
You saw it changed the trajectory of the ball. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So it's easy for all of us to sit there and praise God in the good times in our lives and to thank him for all of our blessings when everything is going our way, when we're having tremendous and great success. But Cody Parkey showed the world in that moment the importance of stopping to praise the Lord in the tough times, in the worst times too. God never promised us a life free of storms, but if we trust and if we believe in him, he's going to guide us through every single one of those storms. There's a purpose for every storm that we face. And I feel like we need to pray for help and strength to get out of that storm and pray that we can learn from our trials and tribulations. And the world may take a look or take a view at our failure and say, hey, our story is going to write itself a certain way when we fail. But we can change the narrative by sticking to our faith and relying on our Savior. Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, I think what you just said, Rob, is absolutely right. It's amazing. Storms not only build character, they reveal it. And when you see that in the moment of Cody, not just spending, you know, pointing up to heaven, which is great, but being willing to face the music, knowing what, you know, knowing he had already missed multiple field goals at that stadium, bounce off the upright, four times in one game, right?
That's amazing.
And of course the crowd is frustrated. And I think just in general, we are not responsible for anyone else's reaction. We are only responsible for our own integrity in any given situation. So I can't help. And I think that's what's so important for us to remember. I'll never be able to change the view of the crowd, and I can't pander to change the view of the crowd. I have to actually just always stay true with integrity. And you were talking about those storms. And, you know, there's this the moment where Jesus had sent the disciples out and he went up on the mountaintop to pray. And the Bible says a storm comes in and they're afraid. And it says they're pulling at the oars with everything they have. They're pulling with all their might to
they're
try to
win. They're in a literal storm.
And, yeah, literal storm. And they're not going anywhere because they're trying to do it their whole time. And it's not until Jesus steps onto the boat that everything changes. And that really is, that's got to be the place from which we find our strength. It's not when we pull at the oars to try to change the storm we're going through or the moment we're going through. How are we allowing Jesus to get into the boat with us? How are we continuing to allow that, his presence, to change our attitude, our response, our self-worth, our insecurity in the midst of all that? Because you and I both know there are times when the crowd is saying one thing, that we want to justify ourselves. We want to shout. We want to snap back. I want to snap back a lot. But that's my presence going before his presence. That's me pulling at the oars rather than letting him step in.
This isn't the first time that Parkey missed, obviously, but it's not the first time that he's pointed to heaven. And there's a game a few games back where even on TV, he's walking off the field after he missed. The camera is on him, and right before it cuts out, you see him just run off the field and point to heaven. So it's something
after
that
after a miss,
yeah.
And so, which I think I texted you at that point when that happened. I was like, oh, right before it went off, he pointed to heaven when he had missed, and that was something that he was already intentional about. And so he kept it going, even in the biggest game.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's funny because what I thought about was what's going to happen 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, when people see the actual consequences of his actions, of staying faithful, of praying in the prayer circle, of pointing to heaven, and people just see those little tidbits. How's that going to impact the future, the young kids that are watching the game, and how they start to implement that into their own practice?
Well, that's
how God's going to write the story. It's going to be really cool to see years down the road.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 when he talks about these momentary afflictions lead us to far surpassing glory, moments of weights of glory. And I think that's, we always have to remember there's every moment that we face contains within it a potential seed for someone else's future. So how we handle that seed, whether we consume it for ourselves or we plant it in the soil that God has produced, that they're the choices that we have. So I love what you just said. Look, I'm going through the moment of affliction, but it's producing me a weight of glory. There's a future result, and I'm not going to consume that someone else's future potential in my own life. I'm gonna plant it. Let God use
it. Strong.
You know, it's too bad because had it been the other way around, had Cody Parkey done anything, say when you see the camera following Odell Beckham Jr. on a sideline and he's freaking out and he's throwing a tantrum, camera follows him around. Yeah. But the camera couldn't pan away quickly enough when he points to heaven or when he goes and kneels in prayer. Yeah. No, the cameras aren't going to follow him around and highlight his moment of praise and thanksgiving and gratefulness in his failure. I'm going to give you one Bible verse, John 16:33. Yeah. I have told you, and this is Jesus speaking, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I love everything about when Jesus says that. Take heart because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Take heart in me. Enduring these storms is going to build an enduring spirit in us and keep us focused on our future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I want to just say something about that. I love Cody. You know, he was here. He was an Eagle for a while. He's a great man, great family man. I actually think the announcers did a disservice at some level too, Rob, because there was no mention on the broadcast of it being tipped until so much later.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's, you know, again, I think we have to steward certain things. Like when we have circumstances, that how we see something, what we say can impact someone's life, negatively or positively. Right. And I think those things, we need to make sure that we steward what we present to people and vet those things before we present them to the world. Because, I mean, let's be honest, this is someone's, for millions of people, this was a game in which they were disappointed. But for Cody and his family, this is their future. This is their employment. This is their family's resource.
And it stayed in people's head for way too long to where he had to endure the consequences of something that wasn't even
correct.
True.
It created a narrative, yeah.
Yeah, it's because, and it's because in the defense of everyone watching in that moment, it wasn't an obvious block where the ball gets rejected
Correct.
And goes
yep.
backwards. It was you had to go back and see it. But just to see him the way he did that, it was so uplifting. It was so encouraging. And I knew Cody's going to be okay. He's going to be just yep. fine because he's got the proper perspective. Sure, it's going to sting for a while.
It's gonna be hard.
He's not going to forget about it, but he's got that right attitude and that right perspective about it. Now, guys, another story that has dominated the headlines here in Philly and across the NFL is the debate over Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz. It's a hot topic for sure on sports radio, and it won't go away, even though in reality there is no quarterback controversy. Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback. Nick Foles is the greatest backup in NFL history. He understands his situation here. He knows he almost certainly will play somewhere else next season. I know that the debate, the Wentz versus Foles topic is one that generates phone calls. It gets you clicks and likes and retweets and all that stuff when you do a poll and everything else. But all of that stuff really is, it's a media created controversy. It doesn't exist inside that building down there at the NovaCare complex. But here's my biggest issue with it. Because when you have success and you have a bad, there's always quarterback controversies created by the media. This isn't the first time, won't be the last time. But my biggest issue is suddenly you have factions and you have Wentz supporters and you have Foles supporters. And yet these people call themselves Eagles fans, but they think it's okay to emphasize their point by resorting to criticizing one guy in order to lift up the other. And I've heard some of the most outrageous, just absolute pure garbage. People calling Carson selfish for playing hurt. People saying Carson is jealous of Nick. It's just ridiculous stuff. And I do my best every time I'm on the air at 97.5 The Fanatic. I get a certain time. I get a certain amount of time per week. So I'm going to use it in the best way I can to really squash all that nonsensical talk, to speak the truth and share insight, because my insight is based on actual conversations with both players. It's based on actual conversation with their teammates. It's not based on opinion and speculation and assumptions. That's not what I do. So I asked Zach Ertz about it, and here is what Zach had to say about the relationship between Carson Wentz and Nick Foles.
Zach, you made a point a week ago or two after a game to stop in the middle of praising Nick to say that this isn't reflective or negative towards anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a society where like people will misinterpret praise for Nick as a way of demeaning Carson.
Yeah.
Is that disappointing that you even have to think about it like that?
I think it's just the nature that we're in right now. This entire society is always comparing one thing to the other. It's very, very seldom that you can enjoy two things. You're always going to try and compare the two to one another. And oftentimes if you praise one, people often lend to think that you're demeaning the other. It's just society right now. It's very unfortunate. But at the same time, I think I've made it very clear that if I'm praising Nick or I'm praising Carson, it doesn't make me think less of the other guy. I mean, those guys know exactly how I feel. They're both extremely talented quarterbacks. They're both going to be successful in the NFL for a long time. And we're lucky to have both of them because there was a time when we had neither, and it was a tough sled.
People don't understand the closeness, the brotherhood that those two share, because they play the same position, and you would think the outside world would look at it and go like, well, they should be competitive. Carson should be jealous or whatever, but he's really not. You have special insight on that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think both guys are brothers in Christ first and foremost, so I think that is a big part of their relationship. They understand football is not the most important thing in the world to them, so they relate extremely well in many other things, and they're extremely happy for the other guy's success. You don't find that everywhere. You don't even find that very often on the same team, let alone the same position. But I think that is also what is different about this football team. Guys truly care about one another and are happy for the other man's success.
And that was Eagles tight end, Pro Bowl tight end, record-setting tight end Zach Ertz talking about the relationship between Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. He's got a little special insight as he shared there. He talks also, I asked him about the Wentz versus Foles conversation, And Zach, as you guys know, is a very well-educated guy from Stanford. He's very thoughtful. And I didn't give him any heads up that I was going to be asking him these questions. Yet he's answering them. So it was just so thoughtful, talking about how this entire society is always comparing one thing to the other. It's very seldom that you can enjoy two things, and you're always going to try and compare the two. And that was just so – he's so accurate about that. And then when he talks about the relationship – and people, I get tired of hearing people who, like I said before, don't actually know Carson, don't really know Nick, have never even interviewed them or met them in person, watched them on TV. They do have the power of being behind a microphone, but they don't know these guys. And, oh, well, Carson's got to be bothered and jealous. And he's truly supportive and truly genuine. And as Zach put it there, I've said it numerous times. Here it is from Zach Ertz's mouth. Both guys are brothers in Christ, first and foremost. So that's a big part of their relationship. They understand that football is not the most important thing to them. So they can relate extremely, extremely well in many other things. They're extremely happy for the other guy's success. And I say, why can't we use this in society as a wonderful example to be happy for someone else's success?
Yeah, I love what Zach was talking about there from the, and he is so right. It's so natural for us now, isn't it, to have to feel like we have to marginalize someone else in order to actually feel better about ourselves, or in order for one thing to be lifted up, we have to tear something else down, instead of being able to look at both of those things and talk about how great and special and look at the best things of both of those things. What a special player Carson Wentz is. What a special player Nick Foles is. What great men they are. What can we learn from those two things? And I think when we tear someone down in order to try to lift somebody up, we actually rip out and to our own destruction, really portions of gold that we should be grabbing a hold of, we throw into the trash.
That's awful. It's awful when that happens, because these are the same people doing that, tearing down Carson now, forgetting that this is a guy who last year finished third in NFL MVP voting, came back from, it wasn't a torn ACL. Doug, you could speak on this in a second, because I think you know a little bit about injuries. Like, it wasn't just a torn ACL. It was a torn ACL, torn LCL. It was a devastating knee injury. By the way, he stayed on the field after that, threw a touchdown pass after tearing his ACL. Wasn't carted off, walked off the field. Then comes back, and within a calendar year, before the 1 year anniversary of that injury, he started 11 games. And while there was some inconsistency, we know he was playing through an injury, while there were some problems on the offensive line, Carson will be the first to tell you he missed some throws. He made some bad decisions at times. Yet through all that, he has a better passer rating and a higher completion percentage than he did the previous season when he finished third in NFL MVP voting. So, Doug, I want to ask you about how devastating of an injury that is, because it wasn't just a torn ACL, it was a torn LCL too.
Yeah, I mean, what he tore is what they classify as the dark side of the knee. So when you tear that posterior lateral corner of the knee, there's a lot of things, the hamstrings, the gastroc comes up through there, other tendons and ligaments. So when you tear that, you're talking about rotary instability, which isn't just one plane. You're talking about any direction that you cut as you move, that's actually going to give out. And you actually saw that, Rob, when you came back and threw the touchdown. There's a video where his knee actually buckles.
That's right.
Right? And so that's not normal what an ACL does. This is multi-ligament injury. And so for him to come back in, less than a year to be able to do what he's been doing is medically a miracle, really.
Wow.
Let alone to get out there and then play at the level that he did. And people were talking about missing a couple throws. Like, come on. Like, what people miss
work for.
He
could walk on the field. Exactly.
You miss work for on a daily basis, let alone these guys go out. And then he starts playing with a stress fracture in his back.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about back pain, to be able to go through that. It truly is amazing. And then it's such a shame that they're going to tear down the relationship, when really people should be praising Carson Wentz and being thankful the fact that we have both quarterbacks.
Absolutely. What a great move by Howie, right? Keep both of them at that kind of level.
This isn't a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers relationship. This isn't a Steve Young, Joe Montana relationship. You're talking about four Hall of Fame. Aaron Rodgers isn't there yet. He will be in a Hall of Fame. Those are four Hall of Fame quarterbacks who are on the same team, and their relationship was completely opposite of the love, the support, the genuine brotherhood that Carson Wentz and Nick Foles have and share for one another. And I don't think that it translates down to and filters through that locker room. And I don't think this Eagles team could be having the success or had won the Super Bowl last year if it wasn't for that relationship, because everything starts at the top. You look at the quarterbacks.
That's right. That's why there's not a quarterback controversy in the locker room.
Correct.
If these two were working in the dynamic, a relational dynamic, Rob, that you just explained, that there would be a quarterback controversy. But they know they're not. They know that these two are at peace with one another. Yeah. They're supportive of one another. They're in each other's corner, which lends itself to the locker room not having permission to pick a side, because the quarterbacks aren't picking a side.
Right.
So
right.
They're saying there is no room for that. And I think that's something that's powerful that we miss. So the only quarterback controversy that's created is external. And
yes.
not internal. And that goes back to speak to the relationship of Nick and Carson. And by the way, the difference, I think, from the other two examples is that both of those quarterback situations, one was at the beginning of their career, one was at the end.
Right.
And both of those. And we actually have the Eagles have a great opportunity where these are still two young quarterbacks in the prime of their careers.
You know, when you talk about Carson Wentz is in the, he's what, 25?
26. Nick's going to be 30.
Nick could go on and play 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Hey, he could follow the Tom Brady path and get all the pliability in TB12. I had to throw it in there and play till he's like 40, 41.
But you know, when you talk about coming from the top down, Doug Peterson was a career backup
to
Brett Favre. And one of the reasons why they kept signing Doug Peterson as a backup to Brett Favre is because nobody else wanted to be the backup quarterback for Brett Favre, because you always knew that he was going to play.
Which works out for Doug.
So, but he lived that example, and he was, hey, I'm always going to support Brett as the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be there. And so how does that translate down to his quarterbacks?
Absolutely.
You know, because he actually lived that as part of his career.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Eagles defensive back Trey Sullivan. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, Doug will tell you how to catch up.
Go to our website at faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every past episode and show, listen at your convenience. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Faith in the Field. And Rob, we really have some really cool merchandise that's out there. We have our T-shirts and, of course, signed copies of Birds of Prey that's still out there, the story of last year's Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And maybe you'll have to write the sequel, coming up this year. But when you go to,
I'm going to have to shout out Jimmy from Mount Holly, who calls me every week on 97.5 The Fanatic, and he's been telling me now for 4 weeks, you're going to have to write a sequel, and he said you're going to call this one Birds of Answered Prayer.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. So, hey, one other thing that we want you guys to do is if you go to our website, sign up for our email list. That's something that's new and hot for 2019, where we're going to be sending you Rob's new blog that's going to be coming out, a little synopsis of the show, and also our weekly episode. So please stay connected with us through email. So sign up for our email list at faithonthefieldshow.com.
And follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're at Faith on the Field, right? On everything. We're on Instagram,
Twitter.
Yeah,
and Twitter, comment and like it and
interact
share it with
out.
Us. Hey, we'll answer you. Hey. Yeah, if you comment on there, we'll get in touch with you.
We're good at that, right? We're good at
We're on it all
that.
The time. It's way too much time we're spending on that. We're looking at it. So if you want to find us, that's where we'll be.
Yeah, I like it. Trey Sullivan, guys, defensive back who signed with the Eagles. We talked about the no-name secondary. He was an undrafted rookie in 2017. He spent much of the season on the practice squad and was part of the Super Bowl championship team last year. He began this season on the roster, but he was released after a crucial mistake on special teams in week one. He returned, though. He was re-signed like the very next day to the practice squad. And eventually, after one guy after another, they lose three-fourths of their starting secondary.
So
they lose their nickel cornerback. He was eventually elevated back to the roster in October. And now he's become an integral part of the injury-depleted secondary. Trey has played 48 of the 64 defensive snaps against the Bears in that wild card game. On social media, and I love this about Trey, he says, I'm blessed and highly favored in his bio. That's just such a cool way to look at it. So I talked to him about that and more. Here is the interview.
When you say, Trey, blessed and highly favored, what does that mean to you?
A lot of us guys, we call ourselves blessed because of the opportunities that we have, all the things that, God, we feel like God has put here for us. You know, every day when I go out on the field, whether it's practice, game, you know, first thing I do is pray. And that's very important to me. Not even pray after games. You know, we pray as a team and things like that. So, I mean, like you said, being blessed and highly favored is, like, very important to me.
A lot of times some people can misconstrue that as blessed means you have a lot. Right. But you're in a position where you have to fight for a job. You're on the team. You were cut. You know, you don't have that guarantee. Right. It's not like being somebody who's got a $20 million contract and knows, oh, yeah, I'm blessed. But it's not really about the money. It's not really about the position. It's about having an opportunity, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we say blessed, I mean, like you said, it's not about having a lot. It's also about being able to give a lot. You know, a ton of the guys on the team, we're always in the community. We give back. We, you know, whether it's charity or just being around, and you know, that's important to us. So that's why we feel like we're blessed, because we have the opportunities that, you know, we didn't have before now, and that we can give back to our community.
There's a lot of guys on this team, a strong Christian bond, the brotherhood on this team. How much does that influence you? How much does it help to have other guys on the team who can keep you walking in the right path, even as tough as it may be sometimes, especially in this world that we're living in right now?
You know, it influenced me a ton. You know, you look at the guys, you look at Carson, Malcolm, all the guys, you know, the things that they do around, you know, we all young guys, we pick up on that. And that's one thing I picked up on when I first got here. You know, I always think about the first thing we ever did when we got here as rookies. And, you know, we went and built that the elementary playground. And, you know, every small things like that, like you said, faith and, you know, the guys after practice, they pray in the middle of the field after practice and things like that. And everyone just kind of picks up off that.
Last week, we see after Cody Parkey misses that field goal, now we know that it was blocked, he points up to heaven, he points up to the sky, he praises the Lord in the toughest moment of his career, and then he's kneeling right there in the middle of the field with you guys praying afterwards. How important is it, do you think, to show people that you can praise the Lord in the tough times as well as in the good times?
You know, I think that's very important. You know, regardless of what the outcome may have been, whether it's what he wanted, what he may not have wanted, I felt like he... you know, felt like he was blessed. And, you know, God put him here to do what he does. He's taking advantage of all opportunities God has given him. And, you know, he showed that, you know, whether it was good or bad, that he believed that, you know, God did that for him for a reason. You know, it's a lesson for him, something that, you know, is going to help him grow as a person. And that just shows why he did what he did. He knows everything that happens isn't always for negative. You know, it's a negative that he will one day turn into a positive.
Trey, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us here on Faith on the Field Show. We wish you a ton of blessings.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that was Eagles defensive back Trey Sullivan. One of my favorite things that he says in that interview is blessed isn't about having a lot. It's also about being able to give a lot. So when you talk about being blessed and highly favored and feeling that way, because we're talking about a guy here in Trey Sullivan. We're not talking about a first-round pick. We're not talking about a guy who got a rookie max contract and is guaranteed $20, $25 million. We're talking about a guy who was cut, released, practice squad, getting an opportunity now and showing it. You don't know how long his career in the NFL is going to be. He could last 2 years. He could be here 10 years. We don't know yet. He looks at the overall picture of his life, and he's able to say, nonetheless, it's not about what I have. It's about what I'm able to give. It's just a unique example of guys on this team and examples for everyone out there. When we talk about blessings, when we talk about being thankful for all the great things that we have, earlier we're talking about Cody Parkey being thankful through failure. Here we're talking about Trey Sullivan feeling blessed and highly favored, even though he's not in that position of comfort in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even know, you know, what his next year looks like.
No.
Right? He's not making the long-term contract. Right. He doesn't have guaranteed money. I think, Rob, what's so important when we talk about blessed and highly favored, you know, Jesus, when he comes, his very first sermon, he, in Luke 4, he gets out the scroll of Isaiah and he talks about at the end of it, he is pronouncing the year of the Lord's favor. Mm-hmm. When we come into the kingdom of God, we step into the favor of God. Being blessed is when we recognize the favor that's already on our life. So I'm blessed. You know, when we're blessed, it doesn't matter what, it doesn't equate to, having prosperity or all these great things in order for me to equate blessing to it, and favor to it. I'm blessed when I recognize the favor of God is in my life all the time, because the presence of God is in my life all the time. freely I have received, now I can turn around. What he talked about so greatly is the freedom now to give. And that's what's so powerful. If we think that if we give things away, that it will detract from us, we will learn to be stingy. But when we realize that we already live in the favor of God and the abundance of God, that therefore we are blessed, so that, like God said to Abraham, be blessed to be a blessing to the world.
Yeah.
We now can give generously because we've received generously.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of goes against the thought process where people would critique professional athletes for making millions and millions of dollars and say how greedy they are.
Yeah.
But it's how you steward your money. You know,
absolutely right.
What are you going to do if you're giving a lot, or what are you doing if you're giving a little?
Absolutely
and,
right.
You know, it's just a great perspective. You know, we have both these guys that we're talking about, Cody Parkey and Trey, and just to be in totally different situations. One lost the game, one won the game, and they both have an outlet for the kingdom.
Absolutely right. Well,
it's a beautiful thing.
If we don't, Rob, if we only look at feeling blessed and highly favored when we get to be a professional athlete, or when we get the new house, or when we get the new job, we're going to miss the fact that we're actually so favored right now that we can enjoy the blessing of God. Being blessed means that His presence is in our life. That is the blessing. The rest is an overflow of His presence. Because He is a provider, Him being in my life, provision comes. Because He is grace, being in His presence, grace flows. Because He is mercy, being in His presence, mercy flows. So it's not about understanding blessing from what I'm getting. It's understanding blessing from who is already present in my life.
I always like to say, you woke up this morning right there. I don't care where you woke up. I don't care what kind of bed you're in.
Yes.
I don't care what kind of house you're in. I don't care where you're going for work. And I don't care what you have in your bank account. You woke up. That's a blessing in and of itself. That right there is a blessing. Trey Sullivan also talked about, I asked him about living through that on the other side, the Cody Parkey loss and how Cody Parkey handled it. And I like what Trey said there. Regardless of the outcome, he felt he was blessed. And he goes on to say that shows that he knows that everything that happens isn't always a negative. And one day it will turn into a positive. Cody Parkey may not know right now what the positive is in that situation. He may not ever know what the positive is in that situation. We've talked in the past about Carson Wentz having to go through that injury, having to suffer through that, having to take on the sideline role of a cheerleader.
Yes.
It's difficult, but there's positives that do come out of our setbacks, and we do grow, and we do learn, and we do become better people for it if we can embrace it and if we can accept it.
Rob, let's go way back to a previous episode that we had during season one when we talked to Michael Vick.
Yeah,
and he talked about going to prison and that changing his outlook. And obviously the Bible talks about
that.
Paul being in prison
absolutely.
Being thankful and how that's affecting other people's lives. So there's just so many stories that come from that, how God can use situations. We're talking about a good situation as a win.
Absolutely.
Or a situation where somebody lost. But God can be glorified through your story. So just keep that perspective.
Yeah, and I think we have to clarify what good looks like, because, you know, the Bible says that God is a refiner's fire. And, you know, the difference between 10 karat gold and 24 karat gold is the amount of refinement it goes through. Now, you know, great. Would you rather have a 24 karat gold bar or a 10 karat gold bar? It's the same way in life. Sometimes the good things, Rob, Doug, at the end of this aren't the good things that are produced outwardly, but they're the things that God refines in those moments inwardly in our lives. And the change of our perspective, the change of our attitude, the closeness that we step into with Him through these moments. So someone else can look and say, man, nothing good has come from that. And we can turn around and say, no, my life has been totally changed in certain areas that no one will ever see, because it's not outward. It's totally inward.
Since we focused on the Eagles and Saints here, and let's we got 1 minute. Let's give our predictions on this game, because this has been an Eagles show today. It is the big game of the week on Sunday at 4:30. Let's start with you, Doug, real quick.
Yeah, you know, so with the Eagles, I think it's a revenge game, and I think that it's going to be fairly high scoring. I think we're going to go 35-27 Eagles.
St. Nick does it again. Pastor Cobb?
Yeah, I think my prediction is someone's going to wake up happy on Monday morning. and I hope it's me. That's my prediction.
I picked the Saints and Patriots before the season to meet in the Super Bowl. I also had the Saints beating the Eagles in the second round of the playoffs to advance to the NFC Championship. I didn't realize it was going to work out this way and happen this way. It's gotten to that point. You guys know me. I stick with what I've had all season long. I'm not going to change. As much as I want to say that the Eagles find a way to win this game and Nick maybe gets like a little sprained ankle and then Carson steps in and win. Not that I'm rooting for an injury in any way whatsoever. I'm just talking about how crazy this whole thing has been for the Eagles, that it would not shock me if that scenario happened. Carson, who's not on injured reserve, comes back, leads him to the NFC Championship victory, goes on to the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP. That's a book, right? That's a birds
that's
of
a
answered
movie.
Prayer, too. I'm going to go with Saints win the game, and they do end up going on to the Super Bowl and playing the Patriots.
I'm glad you picked the Saints, Rob. Well done.
I'm always
well
wrong in big games with the Eagles. When we come back on Faith on the Field.
Did he pick the Patriots last year, Rob?
He did.
Yeah, I did. When we come back on Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University, my lovely wife, Remy, will join us for Faith in the Field. Welcome back to Faith on a Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton joining us for Faith in the Field is my beautiful wife, Remy. She's a former reality TV star, currently being busy as an awesome mommy to our twin 5-year-old girls, Alexia and Melina. She's a super talented woman, but first and foremost, she loves the Lord. She's my rock, my inspiration, and a wonderful ambassador for Christ. It is about time, honey, that you are on the show.
It definitely is about time. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're talking today about changing the story by praising God in the toughest times of our life, the way Cody Parkey did after missing that field goal, which you and the girls happened to watch. You saw a couple plays in the game, and it was fun to see their reaction to that. But it's always easier to praise the Lord when things are going great. But he did it in the toughest moment of his professional life. How important is it for us to change the narrative, change the story, change the perspective, and make sure we take time out to raise our hands to heaven and praise God even in those toughest moments of our life?
Honestly, perspective to me is everything. It's how you see the world through different lenses. I often see my girls, and I look at them and I see how they react to different things. And I wonder, wow, this was some obnoxious reactions they have here. And so I'll give you an example, right? So a toy breaks and they get super upset and they get super weird about it. And I tell them, okay.
No, they don't. I wonder where they get that from.
It's reactions. It's all about reactions and about perspective. And from their perspective, as you know, 5-year-olds, they think it's the end of the world. Okay, my toy broke. That's it. There is no fixing that. But from a parent's perspective, we go, no, it's okay. We can fix it. It's just a dollar. It's just $5. It's nothing. And even if it's an expensive toy, you still say, I will fix it. I'll try to do something about it. So can you imagine as adults our reactions and what God sees happen with our reactions? He probably thinks, wow, these guys don't really think highly of me. They really don't think I can do much for them. But in reality, you have God with all the power on your side at all times to help you out, to see you through what's going on with your life, to see something different than what you're seeing. It's all about your perspective. And I read this thing in a book recently where you basically have to check in with yourself and with God every couple minutes. It's a lot of work and it takes practice, but it's really, really important. You just pause, you kind of look up and just say, hey, did I do good today? Or am I doing good today? Or what is happening? Can you help me do better? And it's just a check-in process. You just check in with yourself and God and just say, hey, can you help me out? Can you change my perspective? Can you change my attitude? And it really does work. It's awesome.
It's kind of like checking in on social media, checking in on Facebook. Hey, I just arrived here. No, it's not really like that.
Not really, but it's kind of like instead of scrolling on your Facebook, you just pause and say, I'm going to check in with God and check in with myself and see if I can do better.
Trey Sullivan, our guest today, talked about being blessed and highly favored. And that's something that I always hear you talk about, being blessed and highly favored. You're always telling me when I'm whining and complaining about all the things that I have to do, stop and recognize you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. And you always feel that way, no matter what's going on. And it's not how much you have or how little you have. Can you explain your thoughts on being blessed and highly favored and what it means to you?
Blessed and highly favored to me is honestly a state of mind. It's regardless of what is happening to you in your physical life, in your physical world, that you know deep in your heart that that's how God sees you and that's your identity in Christ. So regardless of what's going on, you feel that way, you act that way. And you cannot, I can't stress this enough, it's what you think is what happens in your physical life. It's what you feel is what happens in your physical life. So try to change that at all times, and you will see your world changing every single day.
You have a very interesting perspective on Nick Foles, and just so all the listeners out there know, you are not a sports fan. You don't like football. You don't like anything, even though it's my career, but you've accepted it. You understand that that's what I have to do. But you actually watched the entire Super Bowl last year while I was at the game, and you were texting me endlessly throughout the game. You have a unique perspective on Nick Foles. You've compared him to David. Can you explain that for our listeners?
Let me start with this. Anyone that can get me to watch football must have God in them in such a big, big way, because that's a miracle. Right? That's a miracle right there. So I have to say, I really do enjoy watching him play. He does a phenomenal job. And I just feel like every time I watch him, in the very little time that I've watched, I feel like he reminds me of David in the Bible. He is such a giant slayer to me. And it's not like the worldly, oh, he slays. No, it's not like that. It's more like he's really slaying.
Slay.
Like, he's not like slay. No, he's really like giant slaying. It's pretty cool because he is.
Well, he did beat Tom Brady, the greatest of all time.
See, he's slaying right there. So that's what I'm saying. He's such a giant slayer, and he does it in such a humble way that lets you know God is in this guy. He is in him. He's doing work through him. He's working miracles. And it's not about like cheering for that. I'm just trying to say that David, to me, he encompasses David. He's someone that is quiet. He's in the background. But once he's on the field, he is slaying for Jesus. He wants people to get to know Jesus through him, through his work, and through the things that he's doing on the field. It's pretty impressive.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, honey, for being on the show. We look forward to having you on. Thank you to everyone watching and listening. Big thanks to all of our guests today, Trey Sullivan, Zach Ertz, and my lovely wife, Remy. Thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for his outstanding work on our website and podcast. Thank you to our wives for the time they sacrificed for us to be here. Thank you to Brett Kronberger for producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Kyle and Doug, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.